Turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Galatians chapter 5, 16 through 18. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not want, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
Thank you, Dennis. Good evening. Would you believe, would you agree, that God is not a respecter of persons? Do you believe that we all are answerable to the same principles of Christianity? We would believe that because it's true. We recognize that certainly we have blessings based upon facts that don't change. Because if we have facts that don't change, the answers are always going to be the same. And that's the way it should be. Just flipping through the channels on the television the other night, just a couple of nights ago, I was flipping through the channels, couldn't even tell you what channel it was, but here was this big presentation about all the great things that a certain man named Billy Graham had done for our country. And it was a long episode. Showed him, somebody had actually taken video of him back when he was a young man preaching. And I have a problem with Billy Graham because what he says doesn't match up with what the Spirit said. But you see, our culture doesn't have a problem with that because they would rather listen to Billy Graham, who was a very good orator, except he was putting things in there that God didn't put in there and leaving things out that God put in there. And yet, Jesus, in his moment of departure from John the 14th chapter, said that he was going to go away, and that they would know the way. And Thomas said, Lord, how are we going to know the way? And Jesus said, I am that way. But then later on in that same chapter, in John chapter 14, Jesus told them that he was, in his going away, he was going to send them another counselor. A counselor. Somebody that gives advice. Somebody that answers the questions. Jesus said the Holy Spirit was that counselor, which means that if the world would ask the Spirit the right question, they would get the right answer. In fact, if they would ask the Spirit any question, they would get the same answer. This is the last lesson in this series called The Counselor. But if I was needing help, who would I listen to? Who would I go to today? Hopefully, the Spirit. Now, I'm not meaning that we'll get some kind of group around together around a crystal ball, or that we'll do some hocus pocus gobbledygook. I'm saying that we will open our Bibles and we will find the answers and the counsel that we need there. Two things tonight from Galatians chapter 5, when he says, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. I know it says sinful nature, but it is the Greek word sarxē, which means flesh. Not that we are born sinners like the NIV would like us to believe. But the point is this, Jesus had always promised us that we would have godly leadership. That in John 14, when he was going to go away, the Spirit would come and the Spirit would remind them of what Jesus said. The Spirit would teach them what is yet to come. In John 15, the Spirit would help them to witness to people. Now, that concept is not, let me tell you what the Lord did for me. The Lord helped me get over my addiction to plaid shirts. I'm not wearing a plaid shirt. In fact, I was told today that it was a very nice blouse. And the guy that told me is about this tall and he's a lot bigger than I am. And I just laughed and said, yeah, you can say whatever you want. It's not what, because, I mean, let's face it, if I say Jesus helped me overcome an addiction to cigarettes, I've never smoked a cigarette in my life. But then somebody could come along and say, well, you know what? Allah did the same thing for me. Well, and Jesus helped me quit looking at movies that I shouldn't look at. Well, again, somebody could come along and say, well, Jehovah did the same thing for me, not at all referencing Jesus Christ. It's not about what Jesus did for me personally. Witnessing is about what Jesus did. And you can't change that. And you cannot compare what somebody else did with what Jesus did. There's no comparison. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 17, Jesus said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. In verse 18, the Bible says, at once they left their nets and followed him. They did what Jesus instructed them to do. They needed divine leadership, just like you and I do today. We do not need human wisdom when it comes to Christianity. We need divine wisdom. That is, wisdom that comes from God. If you'd turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark, to the 10th chapter. In the 10th chapter, as Jesus was talking about how hard it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God, and don't forget that it wasn't that long ago that I mentioned that you and I would, if we were alive back then, we would fit the picture of people who are rich. So it would be a struggle for us, and I would have to say it still is. But in Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 28, Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished while those who followed were afraid. And again he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. We are going up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later he will rise. They spent their lives following Jesus, and maybe they followed him at first because of his charisma. I'm not exactly sure. We're never told what the emotional side of the disciples who became apostles were, and that is not consequential. What is important is the spiritual needs that they had. And here was a man that they could follow all the way into heaven. Today, may we have that same sentiment that they had, where we would leave everything behind, including the advice of mother-in-laws or father-in-laws or people from the legal field called lawyers. If we would just follow the advice of the Bible, we'd be better off. Who needs the Brad Pistotniks of the world anyway? Not us. We need the counsel that comes from Jesus Christ. And in John the 16th chapter, they had so many questions about after verse 13, where Jesus said the Spirit would guide them into all truth, they had so many questions. I want to start reading at verse 19. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." Some people always wonder, why do you people pray in the name of Jesus Christ at the end of your prayer? It's right there. We don't pray to Jesus, we pray through Jesus. We ask the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. But in the context of this, what's he talking about? He's talking about leadership. Jesus would no longer be fulfilling his role as leader in their presence, because the Holy Spirit would be filling that role as the counselor that they need. Again, turn back to John 16 and verse 13. "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." And as I have said in this series over and over again, the message started with the Father, continued with the Son, and was completed by the Holy Spirit, the exact same message. Over and over again, there is no transformation of the message. There is no change of the message. There is only the statement of the message, some of it being predictive, and Jesus fulfilling that predictive, and then the statement of that which has been fulfilled. For Jesus talked about the kingdom would come. But Paul, through the Holy Spirit, told us in Colossians chapter 1 that the kingdom had come, past tense. There is no difference in those messages. Again, the Holy Spirit is the one that breathed, that told us, as 2 Timothy the 3rd chapter and verse 16 says, that all Scripture is God-breathed. And we know then it is useful. We don't need to know, or actually we don't need to ask the question, which one of the Godhead breathed it? Well, they all three did. But which one of the Godhead caused Paul and Peter and the other writers to write? According to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, the Bible says that prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It's very simple for us to understand. Godly leadership today does not come from some man that lives in Waco, Texas, or from some man that says that he saw two golden tablets, or from some other individual who lived in a cave with he and his wife and his dog and later became the leader of Islam, Muhammad. It comes from Jesus through the Holy Spirit, and we know that. And then, since it did, it's very clear when we read these scriptures, we know what God expects of us. Which leads us to the second part of this evening. If there is godly leadership, there can be godly living. If there is no godly leadership, there can be no godly living. Not only does the Bible tell us what God expects of us, the Bible showed us in the Gospels of Jesus Christ and in the history of the church from the book of Acts. And we'll read a little bit of insight in the letters that Paul and Peter would write about the things that they suffered. In Galatians chapter 5, again, he says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the sinful nature or the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. A lot of religious counsel today is unbiblical. Many, many years ago, I was preaching for a place where a young man and his wife had marital trouble. Me, I don't want to be a marital counselor. I have never intended to be. I did not study to be. I had no desire to be. I still have no desire to be between a husband and wife and getting a tar beat out of me. You know what I mean by that. I don't think that's really happened. But so where the church was, where I was preaching, we sent that young couple to one of the best, as far as we knew, Christian counselors in the area, and he was a member of the church. And the very first thing this guy said when they told him his story, their story of the struggles that they had, he said, "Well, you shouldn't be married to each other. You need a divorce." That was the last time we sent anybody to that man. In fact, we had that man come and explain, "How can you explain what you just said, and based upon what the Scriptures teach in Matthew chapter 19, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate." And his statement was, if Jesus allowed divorce for one reason, then he'll allow a divorce for any reason. And that's not biblical. The Holy Spirit did not say that. I can guarantee you that. That's contradictory of what the Holy Spirit did say. The Holy Spirit expects us, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, to live by faith, not by sight. And in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, we realize that yes, the Holy Spirit does give us counsel. And yes, the Holy Spirit is going to help us along the way. And it says here in Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 9, "You, however, are controlled not by the flesh, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation." That obligation is not to a man who is known as a preacher, who has a PhD or a master's degree, or even a simple certificate from a 4-year or 5-year college, a bachelor's degree. The only degree that we need is the degree that comes from knowing Jesus. And that would be a saved degree. We know this, but yet the world doesn't. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it is not worldly wisdom that God intends for us to gain. It's not what the world says. And so, beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and looking at verse 12, "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words." I imagine if we were to take a vote today across the nation, a lot of people would say, "Well, that preacher's a good preacher. Billy Graham, one of the greatest preachers to ever live." I would disagree with that. Because it's not how a person speaks, it's what he says. And if that contradicts Scripture, do you know what that makes them? A false teacher. The word false is the Greek word pseudo. A pseudo teacher. It's kind of like buying a pair of fake leather pants. Why would you do that? Okay, why would you buy a pair of leather pants? Well, most of you wouldn't. I can tell by looking at your faces. We're not going to go after things that are fake. We're not going to go after things that stretch the imagination and pull at feelings. We're going to go after truth. And that's exactly what the Spirit of Christ has done for us. So as we conclude tonight, in Galatians, the 5th chapter, looking down to the end of that chapter, he makes a conclusion. Galatians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. Since we live by the Spirit, you know, He is inside of us. By faith, He is inside of us. But also His words are inside of us. His words are the things that control us so that we all do the same thing in Christ. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying one another. He is our counselor. I'm not. He is. The elders, wonderful men that they are, they are not the counselors that we need to get to heaven. The Holy Spirit is. And they're going to help us to see what the Spirit has to say, to guide us, to make sure that we cross over that great river of life. Christian living begins and ends with the Holy Spirit. And when man interjects his own thoughts, that's when we get into trouble. So somebody asks you, well, what do you think about, you know, shouldn't we just do whatever we want to do? If we could make worship more entertaining to people, we could get more people in. Is that what Jesus did? When you read the Gospels, Jesus started out with thousands and thousands and thousands. In fact, I think in John chapter 6, you get to the pinnacle of that, where there are 5,000 men, not counting women and children. So you've got a bunch of people there. But after that, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. That's what he said in John chapter 6. And from that time on, his numbers went down. And when he died, nobody was there to defend him. What Jesus said, what the Spirit said that Jesus said, what the Spirit said that Jesus said that the Father told him to say, those are the things that unite us together, that call us out of this world and lead us home. That's the kind of counsel we need. And that's the kind of counsel that God has given us. So His presence is important. His power last week, as we dealt with the authority of Scripture, that's important. But the purpose is for us to live by the Spirit and not live as a citizen of the United States of America thinking that we're going to heaven because we support the red, white, and blue. It's not the red, white, and blue that's going to get us to heaven. It's the Spirit of God and the things that He has said. Those aren't going to change. And if we're honest, the right change is not changing what the Bible says. It's changing the heart and the soul and the individual of the person that reads this Bible. That's the right change. We're glad you're here. Most of you are Christians. In fact, I don't know anybody here that isn't. And I'm so thankful that you are. If there's someone here tonight, though, that's struggling as a Christian, join the crowd. Because we all do at one time or another. And just when we think we've gotten the fruit of the Spirit down pretty good, and boy, I haven't had any trouble with either my tongue, or I haven't had any trouble with my anger. And then the next thing you know, somebody says something, and kapow, all of a sudden I realize my self-control isn't what I thought it was. So we still need the counsel of the Spirit. We're never going to get to a point where we don't need it. But if you're here tonight and you need the help that as a body of Christ we can give, we're going to invite you to come while we stand and sing. Right now, come as we stand and sing.